Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, here this week with Jack Estabrook.
You gotta keep this side of yourself a secret, son.
Which is a creepy message in this movie. Andy Wolf.
Hello, I'm back. It's been a while.
And hello to you.
Some applause. Or yeah. Okay.
Thanks. No, it's just, yeah.
No problem. No problem.
Cue crickets.
You were always my favorite.
Cody Wolf.
Welcome to comic book land.
Yes.
That's right.
And very special guest, Brian Mueller, out of town. So we've, from Earth 2, we've brought Nick Newert back. Long-time guest host.
Thank you. Thank
I think
you.
Yeah. Most prolific again, once again.
Yes.
In your face, Mark Nicotra.
Yeah. And we had to bring Nick in for this because...
You love to torture me.
Well, yeah. And I know you hate this movie. Our movie is Man of Steel.
Now, are you a Superman fan?
Yeah.
You are. Okay, I
yeah. I thought you were going to ask him if he was steampunk for a second. But
are you steampunk?
No.
I kind of understand steampunk a little more.
I left the gears at home.
Okay. Yeah, so Man of Steel, this is Zack Snyder, who is a bit of a legend around this podcast based on Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
I mean, in one movie, he really kind of made himself like the Christopher Nolan of bad movies.
And oddly you say that because Christopher Nolan was involved in this project.
Yep. And by involved, I think you mean he took a big check and said, sure, put my name on a poster. Yep. I'm not against it.
Yep.
You
know? Yep.
Henry Cavill Avell makes another appearance.
Yes. Henry Cavill Avell.
Yes, he does.
Who, surprisingly, was the least of the problems I had with this movie.
I didn't think he was a bad Superman. I was expecting the movie... Okay, again, let's just get it out there. I didn't hate this movie. And part of the reason, I think, was because I had low expectations going in.
Zach, by the way, actually, that should be the quote on the box.
I had
low expectations going in.
And I thought
I
thought Henry Cavill played Superman well.
He had a charm
to him. He had that. I was afraid that they were going to make him. They're trying to make the movie dark, which I think is a dumb idea.
Oh, absolutely.
They were trying to make Superman dark because they want him to compete with Batman, when that's like saying you want to make Mary Poppins dark to compete with RoboCop. You know, it's a dumb idea. Why
I would watch that. I would watch that.
Yeah,
I would watch that.
If someone out there has fan
fiction,
that was actually the subtext to Saving Mr. Banks.
Yeah, that's right. Or I was going to say, if there's fan fiction of Mary Poppins taking on Ed 209, I would definitely read it. But
what I mean to say is that he's a different kind of character. But my thought was going in, like, oh god, this is going to be extra dark. Like maybe the suit's going to be battle armor. He's going to wear a black Superman suit.
Nope.
He's
going to
use like
guns
or something. Nope. So I was happy in that he was kind of playing this honest, all-American, country boy, I'll save you kind of character, and I was glad.
I didn't feel like it was like that.
He played that.
I thought he was way too brooding and.
Yeah.
Who am I? Where do I come from?
Yeah, they went through that route. Yeah.
Well, I think
they did that in Superman Returns as well.
No, but there's no scene of him as a kid where he was like happy to be a kid. Like every scene is like he's reading Plato.
That was weird. That was weird.
He's getting beaten up by.
But I like the bit where he's bugging out because he's getting his powers for the first time in the classroom.
Yeah,
I liked that.
Yeah, that's fine. But there was no like him like in the original where he's like racing the train or something goofy like that. Like as just being a kid.
Right. There's no charm.
Him getting called a dick splash, which I believe we can all agree. No Superman movie needs.
I know.
Even Lex Luthor thinks that's going a bit far.
That bothered me. I was like, dick splash. Like
I've never even heard that before.
That digs up some bad memories. I was fully.
I said I was sorry about what I said in college.
No one called me a dick. I was bullied on a school bus a great number of times.
Who was it?
And I have never, ever in my life been called a dick splash. And I've heard a lot. So I don't know where that came from.
So you're saying it's bad
Did
bullying.
You curl up in a ball in the theater and start
We learned a lot about David Goyer.
I was not traumatized. I was just like, dick's
Jack had flashback during flashback.
Double flashback. Like a double elimination. Let's describe what a double flashback is.
No. You did like a Last Airbender where you incepted yourself. Before we go into the movie, I want to agree with Cody too. I thought one of the problems I had with this was this movie felt like soulless. It just felt very hollow.
There's no fun. It just wasn't fun.
There's no fun.
There's no fun at all.
Small glimmers of it, and then it just. Oh, we got to be serious and brooding again.
And it's almost like you needed a motel room with a bunch of pictures and string. to like tie all these things together because it's like, what the freak is going on here?
I like Alex's eyes when he said that.
What? Why a motel room?
Alex, you always see those movies where the motel rooms are trying to.
I think
they got strings tied around.
I think normally like, the FBI works out of like an office.
You don't have to do it in a hotel room.
I gotta go, guys. I was not prepared for this. This got a little creepy.
You know, it's like there's so many things going on at some point. It's like, wait, this ship crashed at this time.
Well, because there's like
he came here and he's getting powers because, but why do they have powers? They've only been there for 20 minutes. They got powers. Wait, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, there's way too many characters in this. This movie suffers also from the disease of The Dark Knight Rises with just too much going
on. And once we finish talking, we can talk about how many they've got lined up for the sequel.
Oh, God. Well, that's a whole other point of terror. All right, so we'll start off. A lot of this movie
is... start at the beginning on Krypton.
We do. Hold on.
I thought that was Vulcan.
I think so. Here's the thing. So Sharon Stone and William Baldwin are in an elevator. And, all right. Oh, that's sorry.
Not that tonight, baby. Not that tonight, baby. Okay.
No. We start off with a message of
tonight, baby.
We start off with a message of global warming.
Yeah.
Or hydrofracking, whichever one you want to pick.
It is. It seems to be vaguely hydrofracking that. You just have. And Nick and I were talking about this.
Isn't it like anti-geothermal though? I thought geothermal was a good thing.
I don't. It's
basically
knows?
Just don't use all your resources.
Right, yeah. They don't want to get too specific.
Do they ever? I guess I'm gonna defer to our guest expert. Do they ever explain why Krypton explodes in the comics? Why is the planet dying?
I honestly have no idea.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, that was even a question in the original film.
I'm more a Marvel guy. Well, I don't know. I'm a DC guy for this.
Even in the original movie, now again, it's unfair even to compare the two because the first movie is so awesome. But why? They don't even explain why the planet blows up in the 78.
It's just a MacGuffin. Just kind of, okay, we need to. Why is he the last one and why is he showing up on Earth?
Okay.
So, But in a difference from the 1978 one, what they do is, and Nick and I were talking about this before we started recording, too much is going on.
Yeah, you don't know what the frick is going on.
There's like this coup, like General Zod is trying to take over the government, simultaneously the planet's blowing up, simultaneously
he's the first Jor-El, baby naturally born.
Jor-El has his first son who's naturally born, then he's got to steal something called the Codex from this underwater ocean
Genesis
of pods.
looks like the Matrix. Way too much going on.
Yeah. Give you that.
And they didn't need all of those elements going on. And this is, and I don't want to do this all podcast, but this is one of the first points where I was like, okay, the Richard Donner version is doing this so much better.
Well, yeah, I mean,
oh yes, but again, though, I think that's an unfair comparison because that's if you compare this movie to Richard Donner's film, it's gonna suck on 100. Every second of the film is gonna suck.
Well,
so you kind of when going in, I got to be like, okay, Superman Returns was a bit of a disappointment because it was trying too hard to be like Richard Donner. This one's trying to do its own thing, but it's also not living up to that first movie. So
it's not trying to do its own thing, though. It's trying to do Batman and Star Trek.
Yeah, right, because it's like,
well, true.
Here's a superior race, and they're living in...
And Jesus Christ Superstar.
don't get me started.
Because he's Jesus Christ in the movie.
He's Jesus Christ in the first movie. In fact, it's even more obvious because...
Not really, since they have a shot in this movie where they have Jesus Christ behind him on his stained glass
window. There's so much forced Christ imagery in this.
That's true.
He's 33 years old when he leaves the spaceship and he's got his arms out he's on the crucifix.
That's true.
Yeah,
it was a little too.
But this Krypton, I mean, it's pretty. It's supposed to be a superior race, but it looks like it's a hellhole.
Yeah,
where they fly around on creatures.
I was thinking that
when
I was watching because
dragons.
I thought that was
like they have all this technology. He's got computers following him around. Talking to him, all this stuff, but then he flies on a dragon thing.
Not a dragon, I'm saying that.
From Phantom Menace or something.
It was the most
weird mix of stuff.
It was the most generic production design, too. It was just like you said, hey, give me that generic CGI.
And put lens flares.
It's almost like
space.
Walking out of the World Trade Center and getting a Model T,
Right.
Yeah.
And we should say, we meet General Zod, who. While the planet is blowing up,
I was trying to think of something modern.
That's a modern reference there. That's too soon, by the way.
One of them. The new tower. Yeah, that's it.
Freedom Tower.
This time.
Yeah, that's what they call it. So, General Zod is doing this military coup while the planet is blowing up, while Kal-El is being born.
While
the stock market on Krypton is crashing. They should have thrown another thing in.
Well, Kal-El being the first natural born
first natural born.
Virgin birth, whatever. I mean.
And here's the other thing, is General Zod's motivations right up until his final scene are never really clear to the audience. At first, you're like, oh, no, General Zod and Jor-El are in agreement that this that the Kryptonians are destroying Krypton, and it's kind of like a Professor X Magneto thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, you think they're friends?
Congratulations.
They hate each other. Then they're enemies, and then General Zod goes on this rant after the coup gets stopped of, he kills Jor-El, and then he goes on a rant of how I'm going to track your son down wherever you send him. But again, you're like, wait, why is that such a concern for General Zod? Because he essentially was agreeing with Jor-El.
Well, I think the idea is
he wants the Codex.
Jor-El believes that the Kryptonian race needs to get back to its roots. He thinks that they've destroyed themselves as a people because their lifestyle of genetically enhancing themselves and being bred for specific tasks. Zod was bred to be a soldier. Jor-El was bred to be a scientist. But he's like, we need to get back to that. We need to get away from that and get back to being born naturally and finding our own path. Whereas Zod is like, no, I disagree with that. I think that it was perfect what we did, this genetic enhancement. And the only thing these two characters have in common, even though they hate each other, even though they have differing views, is they each think that the planet is being destroyed. They each know that the planet is being destroyed, and no one else agrees with either of them.
But let me ask you a question to everyone here. Does the whole Codex thing, this whole Krypton genetic code, is that ever really important in the rest of this movie? No. I say no. I say no.
I think it's just for his motivation.
It's strictly what Zod wants. MacGuffin.
Zod knows the planet's being destroyed, so he feels that he's the right one to find a new planet and to create the new Krypton. He just doesn't give a crap about what civilization he's going to wipe out in the process he's fallen
It also
from
makes
grace.
It Clark's fault that the world is almost destroyed since he's the Codex.
I guess it's a pretty loose hook to be hanging a movie on, and like it felt like a very unnecessary hook for this.
But is he not the reason why there's all the destruction in Superman 2 and even in the Richard Donner cut? Because he goes to get his powers.
I thought we weren't comparing it to the.
I know, but in terms of the arguments, I mean, you.
Oh,
I
we can compare arguments, but not movies.
There's some
throwdown going here.
So anyway, so Jor-El gets killed. Krypton is.
It's okay. I'm trying.
General Zod.
I thought I was going to be the guy most worked up about it.
I know. General Zod and his people get banished to the Phantom Zone.
Dildos, by the way.
I know. Yes. There's no way to not.
Giant space dildos. They were just dildos.
You have to talk about it.
There's like five dildos going up into his vagina.
I know.
You're
going to
take it creepy.
Yeah.
It's a new train going into the tunnel.
Every ship they had was like a vagina.
I know.
It's all like H.R. Giger sexual.
If that was meant to be subtle, Zack Snyder, you get a D- on subtlety.
His subtlety isn't there.
Well, he was obviously thinking about the D there, so.
Well, it is. I'll give you that. It is very. He made a lot of easy choices, I guess, is the word that I would use. Some of it's too easy. Like that, the Jesus reference. Let's have his arms outstretched. Let's put Jesus behind him. That's just too easy. It's too obvious.
I think Zack Snyder used all the subtlety. Sexual reference. He's making Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
He's all out of subtlety now.
And before. Before General Zod gets sent away to the Phantom Zone, he was talking about something. Did he tell the Kryptonian Council that he will find Kal-El?
Like 18 times, yes.
Oh, that's correct. That's right. He did.
Shut up already.
There was a point. I have a note where I get it. You will find
him. I was kind of waiting for the council to just be like, Press the button. Bye.
Yeah.
Shoot up into space.
I will find him.
Yeah, but nobody knows what.
I will find him.
I thought he was doing it to mess with. He was messing with Superman's mother because
he will
council,
find me. I mean,
the council didn't know about Jor-El, about Kal-El. I'm sorry, about Superman. They didn't know about Kal-El, so he's kind of like, I know what you think. You know, I know what's.
I don't know where you're getting at.
Do you know what I mean? It's like I know that you think you can win because you think you've sent your son away. I'll find him and I'll make sure that your legacy is destroyed. There's nothing you can do about it. It's a threat directly at her. The members of the council don't know what the hell he's talking about, and they're like, he's a raving lunatic. Much, just lock him away.
Too much analysis.
Well, here's the that's really what
we're
great
here to
part,
do.
Though.
We're critics. No, we must analyze.
The really great part here is, by this point, they know the Earth is Krypton's like just hours away from being destroyed.
Yeah, I thought the council never knew. Wasn't that their arrogance? Like, until the
last
minute?
No, by that point, it's pretty obvious.
Well, that's why I didn't understand. Like,
I didn't understand that in the original movie.
I didn't understand
either,
the punishment. They're like, okay, we're going to send you into space where you're the only
one. We're going to stay here and
you will be the only ones who will live. Yeah.
Which they did in the... And again, I'm sorry, suckers, I'm making that comparison. But they did that in the original story, too, though.
I would have liked it.
It never made sense.
I also would have liked it if right before like they got sent away, if General Zod had said, look, I will probably find him. Don't hold me to this, okay? Like, it's not
a
guarantee.
I have a feeling I will find him.
Yeah, I feel good about it, but come on.
I think it just set up the arrogance and the mania of the character more than anything else.
He just wanted to yell, I will find him, because it was a cool trailer moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of sad sometimes when they shoot scenes just for trailers. And I know that they
do that. Which is basically...
I know that they do that in Hollywood, and that is kind of like, okay, we get it.
So we flash forward.
Flash forward 33 years later.
I understand why they didn't focus on his childhood, though, because they just finished that Smallville show. They touch on it in little scenes. A complaint that I've heard about this movie is, why didn't they show him growing up in Kansas? Well, because they just did 8 seasons of it on Smallville. They didn't want to do it again.
I agree. What I was going to say is that I like how they handled this. Like, he starred as an adult and then kind of like took you back a couple times.
Yeah, no, I didn't mind that.
Peppered it.
I didn't mind how they did that.
But there was so many moments were so downers. Throwing a baseball to you know, the dad and dad. Oh, jeez, that hurt or something.
You're my son.
Yeah. I think this is, and I don't know if I doubt anyone's going to agree with me here, but I thought that this was where the film was at its strongest. Where he's not Superman yet, and he's kind of going around, like, trying to find himself, and he's in secret saving people's lives, but he's not wearing a Superman suit. He's just kind of like a nameless, faceless hero. Who is this mysterious man who moves from town
to town? And
then
he stops saving people's lives once he becomes Superman.
That small act.
They just starts destroying cities and...
And killing people.
Those are all Zod kills.
He smashes Zod's head into a building at one point and takes down the building.
We will get into that. Yeah. Superman killed thousands of people in Metropolis.
He's responsible for a lot of deaths.
It flash forward to him, and he's working on the crab boat, and then... For some reason, the crab boat gets diverted to help save an oil rig that's on fire. Like, this crab boat's going to do
the
anything.
Ship. They sound, they
yeah,
sound
but what's a crabber going to do?
I don't know.
There's like 5,000.
I like Hollywood and know right
Norton
now.
Keep catching crabs.
Fake fire looks
fake. Stay away from the burning oil rig.
CG fire.
CG fire never looks good.
Stop.
Yeah.
This did not.
Set a guy on fire or something, please, because I can't take it anymore.
Set a guy on fire, says Andy Wolf. Who cares
about the animators?
Who cares if we are French?
That's the pull quote for the poster. Set a guy on fire.
They could take it.
You will believe a guy.
Kane
Hodder's
Jason's been on fire so many times.
They could.
Henry Cavill.
Yeah, whatever his name is on fire.
Film could take a note from Backdraft in that sense. You know, just using real fire effects. CG fire never looks good.
And I'll agree. We'll move forward. I agree with Jack. Though I didn't hate this part of the movie.
Well, this is what I wish the movie was more of: is him going around and saving people.
Yeah.
Becoming Zuko.
Well, I guess he wasn't, and another thing, I was critical at first, but then I guess they explained he doesn't have his full power, doesn't understand his power, so when he's like, you know, you're kind of like, well, Superman can just...
But 20 minutes of practice, you got him all down.
Yeah, you know, I guess
wasn't
he didn't
even 20 minutes?
Have his full power yet.
He didn't fully understand it. This is the part of the movie where I was kind of like, oh, I might be kind of okay with this. And this movie has a tendency to do this, which is kind of introduce an interesting direction and then punch the audience member in the face and be like, ha-ha, you thought we were doing something cool?
Yeah.
Congratulations!
You figured it out.
Well, that's
we're not.
I wish it was more of that, because there's only like one scene of that. But, you know, where it was more like Batman Begins, where he's learning to become Batman.
Well, he was afraid to, because...
And then he becomes Batman. He's still, like, just saving, you know...
No, he's afraid to save people, because his dad said, you shouldn't have saved the school bus of kids.
Exactly. We go into this...
Pop Kent is a jerk.
Yeah. Well, we go into this flashback where Clark is
on... Let him die, son.
Sucks
to be them.
All of them.
Clark is on this school bus that gets into this crazy accident.
He gets called a dick splash.
Yeah, that's right.
In the first...
And then the bus splashes into... Because it falls off a bridge into the water. And
this,
I'm surprised Clark didn't walk on the water at some
This
point.
Scene does set up what will later become the best IHOP product placement in film
history. God. Oh, God. For no reason. We get to the
I
last
won't
third.
I forget the movie for that one.
No, that everything was... in the during the fight in Smallville is just pure product placement.
Yeah. Sears over. Yeah.
IHOP, U-Haul.
Yeah. It was like Mac and me.
The IHOP one was really weird. But
he's at the IHOP.
So then young Clark pushes the bus out of the water and saves another kid and
even
some of the kids.
Even though the kid called him a dick splash, he saves him anyway, which I thought was very Superman-y of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was more Superman-y
didn't
as
let
a
jerk die.
Didn't let him die. And
you should have let that jerk die, son.
And all the and a lot of the kids see splash. Clark.
I mean, dick splash. I mean, that's the best you can come up with.
That kid
my
was
God,
an ass.
You
could have let him just drown.
Well, and then as you're saying, Pa Kent then talks to him and he's like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. People can't know. And I'm watching this being like, this would have been the weirdest issue of Superboy ever, with like a cover of like Superboy standing on the side of a lake being like, well, what am I going to do? Yep. You know?
All this tragedy falling Smallville, but that Kent kid, he comes out just fine.
gotta keep this quiet.
How do you keep something like that quiet? This is... Okay, when I said there was a few complaints that I thought were horrible, the first is, of course... Why does nobody seem to notice these things? The kid lifts a school bus out of the water, and the only people who seem to know are the parents of one kid who was on that bus. Even though there was like half a dozen kids on the bus.
I think the other one just
didn't mind.
Because
he got home and was like, Mom, you won't believe what this dick splash did.
Well, they also
but nobody else did that?
Well, dick splash did that?
Like nobody knows.
They
nobody
seem to somehow be building in that Lana Lang is cool, and she's not going to tell anyone.
But what about everybody else on the bus?
Well,
what about
know.
The driver?
I think everyone else on the bus was just grateful that their lives were saved, and this kid's mother's like, oh, your son's a weirdo.
Yeah,
but they would son. Be even if they liked it, they'd be like, Clark, that was amazing. Oh my God, you know, you could be on TV, you know, on the news. You know, you'd think that someone would have noticed this, except this was an act of
after
God.
He destroys the city, and no one notices when he tries to get a job at the newspaper.
Well, we'll get.
Well, that's always in the Superman comics and everything. Is why does this guy wear glasses and nobody knows who he is?
Well, for me, this is also where the movie went off the rails because
comic book.
Had Pa Kent said, hey, Clark, you can do amazing things. You just got to be careful. Like, maybe you could have, you know, done this so you weren't seen or something. I would be like, oh, yeah, that's a cool moment. Okay. Like, no, they play Pa Kent like a jerk.
Yeah.
And I'm
you
like,
should have listened to that.
Yeah. I'm right. Like, okay.
I was happy to see Diane Lane in this part, by the way.
This film had a good cast, and I was happy to see Diane Lane as well.
Though later on, she plays it like she's 80, I thought.
Her part, well, because to jump ahead a little bit, one of my big problems with this movie is no characters have relationships with each other. Mm-hmm. The only relationship that anybody in this movie has is Diane Lane to Clark Kent, like that mother-son.
Yeah,
so they basically have to keep Diane Lane because Lois Lane and Clark Kent aren't connected in any way.
Yeah,
there's no...
Except for she thinks he's attractive. That's the only thing that really
they hold
have
hands,
in common.
There's nothing ever...
It's a very forced relationship
in
this
movie.
It's super forced.
It has to be there because she's Lois and he's Superman.
And Zod and Superman don't really have scenes. I mean, no one is really... particularly connected in this movie. So they have to keep Diane Lane in because it's there's a case to be made. It's the only human relationship in this film that actually has a background or even has a backstory.
It's
very awkward. Like this is where this film feels distant and cold.
Yeah,
because all the characters are so separated from each other.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I
expected better from Zack Snyder.
After Sucker Punch?
From the visionary director of Sucker Punch.
Oh, yes, visionary director Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
So it progresses to where Clark is now in the...
He comes out of the lake, and there's a little rock music video moment.
Oh, yeah, they play like a Eddie Vedder song.
I'm weird and I'm home.
Then he remembers the school bus.
I don't know who I am.
They run through some flashbacks and stuff. And
then he gets a job at like a restaurant. Here's some military guys at the restaurant talking about how they found... something under the ice.
Oh, is that how he found out?
Yeah.
I was wondering why.
Yeah, he picked it up from his superhero.
I didn't catch
it. These two guys are talking.
Okay, I didn't catch it. I was full of
so his little known superpower to be in the right place at the right time.
It's super hearing. You can overhear it.
So you want him to kick that guy's ass, but he doesn't do anything.
He doesn't kick his ass.
Because he's Superman.
He
so instead he destroys his rig.
Destroys his livelihood. Goes for the psychological damage.
Guy's got that.
Batman drank himself into an early grave after that.
So Clark goes up to work.
In my head, I was just imagining like him just like destroying this truck while cars are like driving by and stuff. Like he can
that
do
is
that.
True.
Be seen doing this, like wrapping the truck around the power lines. And,
but that was fine.
Saving a bunch of full children. He can't be seen doing.
I thought that was a funny little joke.
So Clark Kent goes to join I refer to as Law and Order Science Fiction Unit in the Arctic. Which is run by Christopher Maloney. And the cast of Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
Several Battlestar Galactica cast members show up there.
That was really cool.
If Ed Starbuck walked in, I would have been like, oh, okay.
Can I say this? This was a bit of a dumb moment when he looks over at Clark and says, be careful with those bags. They're heavy.
Yeah.
So, like, prove that he can lift up a heavy bag. Oh, I didn't know why that was thrown in there.
I don't know.
It's a very little thing to notice. Because
she said
it
to him. And yeah, it's like, be careful. What?
Those are heavy. Okay,
well, they just to establish my guy. Because we as the audience already know he's
strong. Even if this guy wasn't a superman, he could handle the bags. He's pretty jacked.
Well, he clearly looks.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. And here's your introduction to Lois Lane. You're kind of like, wow, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so is... Yeah, but was Margo too a little bit at first?
I was
then she warms up to you.
But she warms not up comparing to you. Movies.
Well, but this here's
didn't, but this here's didn't warm up at all.
But I can connect it to the history.
Well, here's the tough thing. I was talking with another friend of ours who's a Superman fan this week. The script is working so hard to try and push this fact that Lois Lane is tough.
Well, yeah, and like the whole conversation has with Carson Malone.
There is an entire scene that serves no purpose except to give Lois something to do.
She actually says on the phone at one point. She goes, I'm a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter. Who says that? Nobody. I mean,
it reminded me of that scene in Hudsucker Proxy.
Yes.
When they're making bets about when
for the kids?
Jennifer Jason Leigh is going to mention her her Pulitzer Prize.
Yes.
Because she just comes out of nowhere. She's like, I have a Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah. Which just goes to show you print the Coens always do it better.
Yeah. And the script is working so hard to sell her as tough and hard-nosed.
Don't really
and
need to.
Amy Adams is undercutting
not
that.
Pulling it off. And
the way she plays it is like contrary to the script. She's it's ridiculous and just... And I'm not even blaming Amy Adams. This is not good casting.
She was better than the last Lois. I'm sorry. She was better than the Lois in Superman Returns.
I think for the most part, the casting for this movie was actually pretty good. I think Zack Snyder actually does a very good job when it comes to casting his
and
movies.
And the whole, like, now we're done measuring
this movie
nerd
had a
bucks.
Great
can
cast.
We?
But I thought it was so poorly written.
Yeah, you gotta throw that in there. I mean, kids and,
Yeah. Yeah. It just...
I wouldn't let kids see this movie.
I know. That's what I'm saying,
Well, that is where I think the film's biggest fail
is. Kids should not be exposed
is.
To Michael Shannon. they're not prepared to handle Michael Shannon.
The film's biggest fail is that it doesn't have any charm. It doesn't have any hopeful moments.
It tries too hard to be a Batman movie.
Yes.
You know, it's Christopher Nolan wasn't the right producer to start the project. Zack Snyder certainly wasn't the right director for the project.
If you know a bit of the Superman movie history, at least they didn't force in the giant spider or the polar bear fight scene.
True. Spider was there.
The giant metal spider?
The world engine.
It did look somewhat like a giant spider.
Believe me, I laughed when I saw John Peters as executive producer on this.
Yes.
So, back to the movie, though. So,
anyway, back to our conversation.
I didn't even catch that.
That's a little...
That was a creative way to get his spider in this movie.
Really hidden. Yeah.
So,
Because it did have tentacles.
She sees Clark.
She sees Clark. For some reason, she goes outside at night, and she's got an amazing camera that can
beautiful camera
shoot.
Oh my God!
Very low lux. Like,
this is one of those moments in
she
film.
She zooms
where
way
get
in,
wrong.
And she sees Clark is walking towards the thing in the ice. So she follows him into the ice, and he's melting the ice with his heat ray vision, and he finds the ship underneath the ice.
Now the army guys couldn't do that
with their heat ray
vision. They couldn't use like laser cutters to get through the ice.
I thought this was if I'm reading it right, that Clark essentially was while they were tunneling one direction, he had his own secret tunnel.
Yeah, he knew how to get in. Yeah,
and
I didn't hate that scene. I just think it was
so. This ship's been there like 18,000 years. It's a scout ship.
Yeah. But it has Superman suit.
Maybe not 18,000, but like
it's 18,000.
Oh, is it 18,000? Yeah. Okay. 18, wow.
And what they're saying,
this is like our Fortress of
from
Solitude.
From what they're saying, were they saying that this was the start of man here? They would go to
No, they would go
and they would make it an atmosphere where they could survive. That wasn't part of this.
No, they're just trying to find.
This is just a scout ship.
Yeah, they're trying to find it because I think at that point Krypton was in trouble too, and they're trying to find another planet to maybe.
Yeah, I remember saying that. Yeah, they said.
Well, there's another thing that I've always had in general and overall. This is not just this movie, but an overall Superman complaint was if Krypton had such high technology, why were they not space travelers? You know?
It's kind of like, well, they were.
Yeah, they had a bunch of outposts.
But here it's like, oh, they had a... Okay, well, here they were space travelers. They tried to colonize planets, but then they all just came back to Krypton, and they just kind of gave that up 18,000
years ago. We're coming up on one of the most ridiculous moments in the movie, which ties into that, which is... Clark Kent plugs his thumb drive into the ship, which is as ridiculous as it sounds.
Now, to be fair, the U in USB stands for universal.
Yes, that's right. He plugs his thumb drive in, and one of the plot devices this movie uses that I hated the most is now he's seeing his father, Jor-El. And it's portrayed as it is a, quote, shadow of Jor-El and Jor-El's, quote, consciousness. However, Jor-El's consciousness seems to have a lot of emotion and a lot of feeling and interaction with people. Mm-hmm. This never makes sense. This never added up for me.
Yeah, the fact that it was very frustrating. Knows who Lois Lane is and has this whole
Well, she is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter. That's I'm not damn, sure if you're aware of that.
That's a damn good AI. Right. He can make millions of dollars patenting that technology. Clark could on Earth.
So he talks to this Jor-El shadow. And, you know, then the essential question comes up.
His other Robin Hood father.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Both of his fathers played Robin Hood. And he asks the Jor-El, hey, why didn't you come with me? Which is the question I was asking at the beginning of the movie. And the movie realizes this is a problem but has no answer, which ends up with Jor-El just saying, like, look, your mom and I were all about Krypton. And, I mean... Hey,
what, you see,
what are you going to do?
You see, oh, space robot, watch out.
Yeah.
But again, an overall Superman complaint, why didn't that happen even in the comics? It's always, our planet's being destroyed, let's shoot our sun away. And the description is always, oh, the rocket wasn't big enough.
Well, and
we'll build three rockets.
We'll do it again, and I'm the one who said we shouldn't do this. I'm going back and doing it. In the Richard Donner version, it's like, hey, we have no time. This is happening faster than we thought. Quick, get the kid
in there.
And you're that's like, oh, okay. Like, I can buy that. I'm with that.
Well, and I mean, it's...
Now, yeah.
You've got to realize, Superman is a 75-year-old character at this point.
That's true.
And when they originally created it, it was just, you know, maybe a two-panel, like, oh, why is this guy got powers? Where did he come? You know?
Right.
It never... I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, nobody really had any reason to analyze it that deep at the time. And now here it is, you know... Decades later, it's like, oh, yeah, why didn't they just do... Well,
yeah.
For whatever reason. Just make up a reason. And
Yeah
it's a little harder to, like...
It was never intended to be this franchise.
It's going to take all day to get to this
one. I know.
That's a very good point.
That's all right. Lois gets zapped by, like, a robot thing in the cave.
And Superman cauterizes her wound.
With his heat ray vision.
Yes.
And then he leaves her around and...
takes a ship and flies it away.
So
to a secret location.
Lois now knows that he's like an alien, and she decides she's gonna write an article about it, about her savior.
And Perry White,
her savior.
The article I'm guessing it was totally titled.
There was a lot of Jesus.
Hey, I totally saw an alien by Pulitzer Prize winning reporter Lois Lane.
You know, I think this is ironic that there is all this Jesus analogy in Superman because it was created by two Jews. Joel Schuster and Jerry Siegel.
We're trying to get to the movie.
They're Jewish. And
so
all
if
these
anything,
Jesus,
it should be a Moses reference.
All these Jesus references. I always thought that was a little ironic. Not that it matters.
Well, we just
no, because like he wasn't supposed to represent Jesus in the beginning.
He's not supposed to be Jesus.
Yeah, he was supposed to be like the Jewish refugee.
I think it's ironic and funny that that's where it ended up. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, back to jokes about this bad movie.
I won't mention the creator of Superman. I apologize.
Wow, things just took a very philosophical turn.
I was making a serious comment
on the series. During World War II, the Jewish people.
So she writes
this article, and Perry White's like, no, you can't publish this article. You're crazy. Yep. So she decides she's going
She leaks it to Gawker.com, basically.
Here's something I was hoping for, and it didn't happen. I totally thought this blogger character was going to be a Jimmy Olsen.
Right, yeah.
He's this young kid. He's got glasses on. He seems to be a weird competitor to Lois. Like, Lois is the Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, and he's sort of the sleazy, like, web blogger who, like, you know, has no, you know, he's more like the modern day version of a tabloid
journalist.
His character's
literally not in the movie anymore after this.
And I thought they were going to build up this.
Analyze his character.
I thought they were going to build up this. These two characters hate each other because they have two differing views of the news, and then they start working together, and they each fill their role in the Superman legacy, which is Lois is his romantic interest. Jimmy is his friend and the guy who
helps
him out.
But that didn't happen.
But as Cody so aptly put it, you never see this man again. I was like, oh, I thought that was their Jimmy Olsen character. Okay, never mind then.
So he gets puts this out on the internet, and Perry White gets angry. Yeah. Suspends her for 2 weeks, or is it 3 weeks?
Lawrence Fishburne.
I don't know.
Or is it three?
It could be three.
Because we've got a few Matrix actors.
By the way, which has been the best conflict so far in this movie. How long is Lois Lane suspended for?
So Lois tracks...
She decides to use her suspension to track down her savior.
Right. Yes.
Her savior.
Yes.
And ends up at Diane Lane's house.
At Diane Lane. And this is also where we find out how Pa Kent
died. And goes
died.
To the grave. And then shows up.
Oh, and this scene is one of the reasons I hate this movie.
Now, this was actually one of the things.
Oh my God.
Well,
was it here? Was it here?
Yes.
Well, because, it's at the cemetery. She tracks him down the cemetery. Yeah.
One of the things I did like about the movie, and I really liked, was that Lois tracked him down and.
One of her.
They kind of oversimplified it, I think. Like, she talked to two people and was able to piece it together.
Yeah. It was pretty
magical.
But
the idea that she's so good a reporter, she's able to, figure out who Superman is.
I actually like that. And let me tell you, because I'm with Nick, I gave this movie a little credit at this point, and I said, you know what? This movie is going in a different direction. It's not going to do the goofy thing where Superman puts on a pair of glasses and says, hi, I'm mild-mannered reporter Clark Kent.
Right.
And I thought, that's actually pretty gutsy and cool.
I had that thought, too.
Now,
so
keep
that goodwill going, because it's about to slap you right in the face.
Also liked that, but one of the arguments that I've heard is, how can Lois find him so easily and the NSA can't?
Well, yeah,
which I say, okay, whatever. I'm willing to let that go.
Yeah.
I suspend my disbelief.
They weren't looking
for Superman.
I'm totally
exactly. Thank you.
Totally,
this is something I really liked about the movie.
If I'm ever about to get sucked up by a tornado or something, I'm just gonna stand. You come try to save me.
Let's set this up.
I'm just gonna put my hand up. Hold on. Just patiently wait to get sucked up.
Cody, you gotta promise you're gonna scream. Dead in slow motion.
Let's set this up. So we get a flashback to how Pa Kent died. They're driving on the road, having the typical "you're not my dad" argument.
You know things are about to go down.
And they see a tornado coming, so Clark and Ma Kent and a bunch of other people run under an overpass.
And this is just how much of an idiot Pa Kent is. Like, that's why I hate this character. It's Clark Kent is the one person in the world who could save everybody there.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, he could save everyone, and Pa Kent could say, "Hey, you know what, son? Hold on, do some amazing stuff. Yeah. Let's keep it low key, but let's do some amazing stuff."
Then Pa Kent saves everybody anyways. They're all in the overpass. But then the dog's in the car. Yeah. So then Clark Kent is one person in the world who can save the dog now.
Right. And
he's like, no, you used to hear with your mother under the... It's like, he doesn't even have to do super speed or anything to get the car. He can do what Pa Kent did. He just wouldn't be killed if the tornado sucked him up.
All Pa Kent's got to do is, hey, everybody, look over there!
There's another tornado.
Well, it's a tornado. Yeah. Confusion. Nobody's going to know what they saw. Yeah,
right. Hey, everyone,
weird. It looked like that guy ran over there.
We're going to go on the other side of the overpass right now, everyone. But instead, so then...
Yeah, this made no sense.
So then Pa Kent realizes he's about to get sucked into the tornado, and there is, as you guys referenced, a shot where he literally puts up his hand, basically saying, don't save me. I'm good. I'm good.
I know his ankles hurt.
Yeah.
But he could have made some pretty good strides in the time he just stood there and waited for his
dog's fine. We're cool.
He could have tried. It would have made more sense if he tried to get back and then got sucked up, and maybe Superman tries to reach out for him and he can't.
But no, he just stands there. No, son, stay there.
It's so stupid.
And then the music drops out.
And he gets sucked into the CGI tornado.
I'll give Kevin Costner credit. He's doing his best to sell what is a terrible. Stupidest of scenes in this movie.
Yeah. Kevin Costner was actually one of the reasons I was initially kind of looking forward to this movie. Like, oh, that's actually really good casting. Him as Pa Kent. Okay, yeah.
I like his performance. If different words were coming out.
Exactly.
Of his mouth.
Yeah. Great performance.
Oh my God.
Awful writing.
Yeah.
Superman let his freaking father die in a tornado. It's don't freaking.
And the problem too for me was that they did these flashbacks kind of out of sequence.
Oh God! Well, I knew you were gonna have a problem with this.
It's just so weird, though. It's just so weird. It's kind of like a weird.
I thought it was kind of a different style. I thought.
Story.
This is why Andy refuses to watch Reservoir Dogs for people at home.
Pulp Fiction.
Because
I hate Pulp Fiction. It's the worst movie ever friggin' made.
Wow.
Memento.
Wow.
That is not true.
Wow. Did you just say that? Did I just hear those words?
I want an episode that's Andy's review of Memento.
I wanted him to see that. I wanted him to see that.
Oh, it Memento is amazing.
His brain would go scanner style explosion.
This is also the guy who won't watch Scanners. Fight Club because Brad Pitt has an English accent.
He can't understand a thing he
which
says.
Which I keep telling him, Brad Pitt does not have an English accent in Fight Club. You're thinking of Snatch.
Which is a completely different movie.
Snatch is not Fight Club, and Snatch is also good.
No, he doesn't.
He does not have the British accent in Fight Club.
Anyways, back to this movie.
Anyway.
Wait.
So
we'll talk about this later.
It'll take a while to wrap your head around that one. So, Lois Lane drops the story. Lawrence Fishburne's like, good.
Yeah, how many of us work in news around here?
You got the biggest story in the world.
The
century, yeah.
No, don't print it.
We're going to let the New York Post take this over.
Also, around the same, I think, intercut with this stuff is when Clark, he's talking to his father in the ship, and that's when he gets the suit, which is on the scout ship from 20,000 years ago.
And somehow it has the S on it.
It's got the L emblem on it.
Yeah.
And, yes, emblem for the House of L.
Yes.
Yes.
And he puts on the suit, and his Jor-El tells him, oh, you have powers, and you got to push yourself to the limit so you can know how powerful you are or whatever, and that's when he starts
getting
flying
stronger.
Around. It's basically the trailer sequence of him.
I'm your father, Jor-El.
Fly the Tiger starts playing.
I'm Maximus Desmus Meridius.
So it takes him about 45 seconds to learn how to fly.
Yep.
To learn that he can fly and then learn how to fly. Yeah. And then, now he's Superman, or I guess he's got the suit.
And he has a terrible scene where he goes home to Kansas to say to Diane Lane, hey, I found out all this information. I am from another planet, and I found out about my parents. To which point, Diane Lane says, oh my God, tell me all about it. Who are they? Oh, no, wait, no, she doesn't. She asks zero questions about who
they are. I think the idea there was that she already knew. Come on, he crashed in a spaceship.
What else is there to say?
All she needs to know is that he came from another planet, that she raised him as her son. Oh, and
you're just offending stupid stuff now.
His instance is...
why would I want to know more about this
life quest
spaceship?
Was to find out who he is. He finds out who he is. I'm happy for you.
Well, the kid I've
Steaks
raised
for dinner.
Why don't you go do the dishes now?
The kid I've raised for 33 years is the first ever alien to live on Earth. Why would I have questions?
All she cares about is that he's her
Mom,
son.
I'm Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
So then, yeah, he tells her, and then that night, the Zod ship shows up.
Right.
The effective scene in the whole movie, really.
And the most ridiculous thing in a movie full of ridiculous things, which is that Clark Kent is watching Kansas University football on TV, and they appear to be nationally ranked, which, come on. I mean, that's ridiculous. Just,
you might believe a man can fly, but nationally ranked.
Yeah, I'll suspend my disbelief, but Kansas football nationally ranked.
It's a comic
ranked.
Book movie.
Yeah. That's right. It's based on a comic book. Give us some...
Probably because the NFL wouldn't give him any rights to use any national teams.
Probably true.
I bet you that's why.
So Zod's ship comes down, and it broadcasts just to everywhere on all devices.
I liked the message. I liked the threatening message.
Cool.
I thought that was kind of creepy the way it looked and attention.
Yeah. That's like the only thing I liked.
I thought there was going to be some paranoia subplot where Superman would have to go into hiding.
He basically says
that makes sense.
Zod basically says there's an alien living among you.
We have this milk carton.
I want
he looks
him.
A little like this.
You won't know who he is because he looks like you, and communally we look just like humans do.
If you actually think about it, Zod gives them nothing to work with. He's like, there's an alien on Earth. He's been here for a long time. You don't know who he is,
but you
need to turn him over to me immediately.
I think 24 hours to turn him over.
Yeah.
For him to turn himself over. So.
So they turn over Robert Zadar.
I know. I mean,
sorry, that was my fan fiction.
Yes!
He looks kind of like an alien.
If Robert Zadar was in this movie, I would have been like on the
giant
moon.
Catcher's mitt face. That would have been great.
I would have been on the moon, damn it, Maniac Cop.
So
sorry to distract him.
Then Clark goes on a soul searching adventure.
Yeah,
he just thinks that he's.
I gotta go talk to a priest.
Yeah, he goes and talks
right
to a
priest. Right in front of a stained glass window.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus,
they have that very conveniently framed shot of.
My brain took a vacation during this scene. I was actually watching this scene and realized that my brain had stopped paying attention to it because it was so dumb.
Just inane.
Yeah.
It was just there's no real depth.
Basically, he's like. for somebody tells his priest, I'm the one they're looking for. And the priest is like, well, you got to do what you got to do. And he's like, I don't know if I should turn myself over or...
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well.
But he only turns himself over to get Lois back, doesn't he?
Well, now they
no, he turns himself in and then... And
no,
then...
no, well, because the FBI has Lois.
Yeah,
he's the FBI picks Lois up because...
I'll turn myself in if you turn Lois loose.
Yeah.
It's like he's got a great love for her.
Yeah. I think it's just to save his fellow, his, a fellow person.
I think that was incidental. Yeah. I think it was
well, just, I was going to stay hidden and screw the planet. Yeah. But you got low. Well, all right.
That, hey, that chick I met now. That one time. All right. Her name? All right. Yeah. Like, this is where the movie's in full blown fall apart mode when you're asked to believe that, like, Clark's decisions are motivated by his feelings for Lois, who's barely been in the movie with him.
There's been no. Contact with him, really.
Yeah, you know, he may or may not know her last. I wouldn't have been surprised if he was like, oh, her last name is Lane? Oh, okay, hold on, I gotta write that down. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because the FBI picks her up because they know that she knows who this alien is, and she's like the only one who knows. So he decides he's gonna turn himself in, and he does to the FBI or to the Army, whoever. They're just all working together.
And General Zod apparently also has been watching CNN because he knows about Lois Lane.
He wants exactly to know where that Malaysian plane is.
That was a scene I wanted in the movie. Breaking was General Zod watching like Anderson Cooper, you know, and being like,
so
Piers Morgan comes on, change the channel.
I'm gonna say here, I thought it was cute that he wore the handcuffs is just a gesture of faith, and then he just drops his arms and they split apart. He doesn't even like break his fists apart. He's like, oh, I can see it through the window. In fact, I'll just talk to you. He just drops his arms and he stands up. I thought that was kind of cool.
No, I mean,
and I liked how they finally established, well, why do you wear an S in your costume if you're from another planet? It's just a coincidence. It looks like an S. I thought that was kind of a cute scene. Why do you have an S in your chest? It's not an S. On my planet, this means hope. And she's like, well, here, it's an S. I thought that was kind of cool.
That wasn't a terrible scene. No. It was very late in the movie, and it was
okay.
It was actually a scene.
Felt weird. I think him wearing the suit felt weird to me because no one had ever seen him in the suit before, and he just shows up. He's flying. He's got a cape on and wearing some weird.
Because
underwear.
He has to wear it. Maybe he should have
worn. Everyone's like, should have been like, why are you dressed like that? Like,
why
are you wearing a cape?
It's the blanket my mother wrapped me in.
So General Zod takes Superman onto his spaceship, and
this I didn't get or like. There's no reason why General Zod needed to take. We want him and Lois. You don't need Lois. You don't need Lois.
Well,
she needs to be on the ship to give her an action sequence where she can save Superman and learn the information to destroy Zod that. Superman could have learned in the same scene.
Well, they try to explain it away. I mean, they just want it in the movie, obviously, but they try to explain it away by saying, like, they want to read her mind to learn about Clark. But it's like, what can they read in her mind that they're not going to read in Clark's mind? Because they read in Clark's mind, too.
It's like,
does she know things about him that he doesn't know about himself?
Yeah, why didn't they
She just met him a week ago.
I think
Lois is the same relevance to General Zod as the bully who's now an IHOP manager.
Right,
why don't they bring that guy up? Keep you open to
go
it.
Go down to the IHOP. Bring me the redhead.
I'm finally going to fully contradict what I said at the beginning of this podcast and compare it to the movie. The Margot Kidder Lois probably would have snuck on to Zod's spaceship in, like, a bit of comic relief. Superman breaks free and realizes Lois is on the ship, and you get a rescue, and Lois would do some stuff. Why couldn't Lois have snuck on
the
spaceship?
Made some sense, and that would have been
that would have gotten her on the ship in a more Lois Lane type way. Well, I got to get the scoop. Hey, let me go on your ship. Why do we need you, mortal? And then he like takes Superman away, and then she's kind of like shifty eyes. Somehow sneaks on the ship. It would have been something you would have seen in a suit. If they wanted the scene in the movie, that would have been a better way to get Lois on the ship. Then we must take Lois as well. We're gonna lock you in a broom closet, and you're gonna do nothing except when Jor-El magically appears. You're gonna walk around shooting people with a laser beam, and then escape in an escape pod. Right after he conveniently tells you how to shut down Zod's death machine. And then he tells Superman. And she tells
Superman. We're done. Thanks, everybody.
I will say I did have a problem with this scene.
Well, Superman gives Lois the real hero of this movie, which is the thumb drive.
Yeah, why do that?
This movie should have been called Thumb Drive, and it would have been more accurate.
He's almost like, hey, you're going to kill me for this thumb drive. You take it.
You take it. And as Jack basically said, like, we get a bunch of stupidness of them. General Zod interrogating, like, talking to Superman.
Superman loses his powers because...
The
environment.
Something, they were like, we can't do kryptonite, that's cheesy. Yeah. We'll do something just like kryptonite, but
why not
air.
Why not just... if they thought the original origin of kryptonite was cheesy, why not just make it something different, like a weapon that they invented? Oh, here's this new weapon we call it kryptonite.
They had so many balls in the air at this point. Yeah. I think introducing another weapon would have.
It seemed that the movie was too scared to be Superman.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It was working very hard to like try to not be Superman, but to take like Superman principles.
I mean, hell, they wouldn't even call the movie Superman. You know,
yeah, right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
they say Superman once in the movie.
Exactly. Yeah, literally one time. Yeah,
and it's like a throwaway gag.
Right.
So Lois Lane realizes that the thumb drive gets plugged into things, and the shadow of Jor-El then
he literally says, "Hey, Lois," like he knows her name.
"Hey, Lois, right? I know how to stop this.
Yeah.
I'm part of the ship or something.
So I'm here." He basically shows up. He's like, "I'm here now." Yeah.
I'm back in the movie.
Yeah.
He uploads into or downloads into the ship system, so he can control the ship now.
He's a ghost in
plus
the machine.
Plus, he designed the ship conveniently, so he knows the ship.
This stuff
so
was
then,
just
then
infuriating.
It just goes crazy, right?
Yes.
It's just, yeah.
Then it's just repetitive fighting.
Well, now, okay. So
repetitive
now,
fighting.
Basically, like. Basically, what happened? Superman and Lois escape from the ship.
Well, Jor-El, yeah, makes the environment on the ship so it's more like Earth.
Human.
So
that. He gets his powers back.
So he gets the powers back.
Superman punches people. Lois gets in an escape pod.
Jor-El puts.
He's got to save her from falling. Because she's burning up the atmosphere.
Yeah, this is where he does his Jesus pose.
They end up back down.
They crash into Earth.
In Kansas, there's a...
Conveniently, they're right over Kansas. So
they send ships to...
It's the heartland of America.
Nihilane's house to find his ship.
Yes.
And Superman's like, "Oh, I gotta go." And he just takes off and...
And this is where Superman goes on a crazy serial killer spree.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, this is where it starts.
He punches General Zod through a gas station, certainly killing dozens of
explodes. Yeah. The gas station explodes.
Yeah.
Smallville. And then the military comes in and they don't give a shit about people either.
They're just freaking shooting everybody. Oh, they're just shooting at each other.
Right. Yeah, they're just... Oh,
what's going on here?
And again, I'm telling you, it is a hallmark of movies we do. There's a point when a character being... We should have yelled "Rocket!" and including
just decimate Smallville.
One of the strangest scenes in any movie we've seen is Superman gets punched into the IHOP where the bully now works, and there's just a strange.
It just looks at him quick.
They just look at each other.
I would have loved if Superman said, "Hey, Dick Splash."
Yeah, no. and then the movie goes on, and it's so. I was fascinated by that. And Law and Order.
Like a little arc they were trying to have that the bully now finally respects him and feels bad about bullying him, but it wasn't necessary.
It didn't add up. Yeah.
Have some raspberry pancakes ready for me.
Because they had a flashback where the bully helped him up.
Yep.
Later in the film, anyway. Okay. So.
And then Law and Order Science Fiction Unit. Like I just like I have like so many notes on my page. I'm like, humans, stop shooting at Kryptonians. Stop.
Superman gets shot in the head at one point.
I know. He's
yeah. It's like well, at that point they should be like, okay, obviously this isn't working. Yeah.
He's shooting like this automatic.
Aliens fight it out.
He's shooting this automatic rifle at I can't remember what the woman's name was.
Yeah.
We'll just call her Ursa.
Point blank.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's not working. Where's my pistol?
Yeah.
Pistol.
He pulls out a knife.
I was hoping for the classic George Reeves Superman thing where he was just going to throw the gun at her after he ran out of bullets.
Yes.
That would have been great.
I thought that was it showed that he was.
But okay,
he's just this tough soldier who was willing to fight at all
costs.
He didn't care about death.
Here's the
he's going to die defending his town.
Why is Christopher Maloney even a character? Right. Why are we even talking about this?
Because they just threw so many characters in there. But why? They didn't have superpowers. Do they just automatically get in the sun and they have superpowers?
These
guys were jumping and indestructible the whole time too. Why were they?
I was thinking that too. Yeah, like
this is not.
But Clark Kent didn't get his powers until he was like seven.
They say this at the end of the movie. I think Zod says, "I have military training." So he's used to having great focus and
indestructible, though.
Well, no, because
he's been thrown through buildings.
Kryptonians get their powers once they're exposed to the sun. Maybe it only affects adult Kryptonians. So they show up and all of a sudden they have these powers, and then all of a sudden they're like, "Well, we can hone ourselves because we have military training." Whereas Clark Kent is just a dude, and he all of a sudden learns he has powers, and now he has to learn how to use them.
I think we can all agree this is handled incredibly poorly in the movie. Like, yeah, this is... Well, and anyway, Superman gets knocked out in a Sears, but he's okay. It's in the appliance section. This was very like, was it a Sears in Mac and
Me?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh mother, yeah, there was a chase works. Scene in Mac and Me through a Sears.
Okay.
So yeah, there's this big fight and they just, it goes on and on and on. And then someone shoots a rocket at the woman, and that finally kills her.
Which I'm like,
didn't kill her, did it?
No, it knocks her out.
Oh, really?
It knocks her out. It knocks her out because I'm like, why are the humans still shooting? It doesn't work. And then that does work, and I'm like, oh god, now we're gonna have another like 45 minutes of them being like, hey, it did work that one time. We did knock her out that one time.
Yeah. So that, he takes her on a ship and they take off.
Well, they leave because
and he says something like they exposed our one weakness.
Well, because they break his helmet, his breather helmet, and the air that he can't focus because he's got all this input which Clark has learned how to focus, so he's like freaking out and he has to get back on the ship and that's his weakness, I guess.
No, because
is not really not breathing.
So now we haven't even talked about that West Wing guy, like the West Wing scientist too. There's also like, there's so many like dumb. There's so many scientists that like helps
at the end. I call this the them scenario. If anyone out there listening has ever seen the movie Them with the giant ants, you'll know that when the giant ants are taking over the city of Los Angeles, the military develops a plan to destroy the ants. And who leads the charge at the end of the movie?
The West Wing guy?
Not the military. Not the military guys.
Was it Jesus Christ?
Yes, it was Jesus Christ. No, not the military guys who launched the plan, but the two main characters of the movie who by no rights should be there, like a cop and a reporter, lead the charge of army guys at the end of the movie. So this was kind of like that. We've got to stop Zod's ship. The military develops this whole thing. Who's going to stop them? A scientist and a reporter. Why? Because they're the main characters. It's like, no, that's not how it would happen.
Well, because Lois is the one who knows how to stop them.
Well, she can tell somebody else.
The problem is like Christopher... She
waits a long time to tell Superman that. Thing, I know she.
Well, because he takes off as soon as they crash into the earth.
Somebody.
I know. It is kind of funny how she's like, hey, wait. I know how to stop them, you know? Yeah. And to Jack's point, which is true, there's also an army major who we haven't talked about who's seemingly a major character in this too. And all of them could have been like one character. Yeah. Like they didn't all need their own storyline.
About unnecessary too. I just want to throw in there quick before I forget. Unnecessary digital zooms on every spaceship.
Oh
my god.
Those are
a couple times I'm okay with it, but then after about the 17th,
it's
like,
kind of become cliche for CGI spacecraft in movies.
Digital zoom stuff.
To make them look like they're actually objects being photographed instead of animation.
I have that down as complaint number 782. I have with Zack Snyder. I mean, like Zack Snyder. But when the phrase "bigger fish to fry" is like invented for that.
I
with Zack
throw
Snyder.
It drives me crazy.
So they develop this plan where they're going to drop Kal-El's ship onto the onto Jor-El's ship, and because they both have the phantom drive
will...
it's going to create the black hole,
the singularity,
and send it back to Krypton.
I really expected I wanted the like the West Wing character to say at the end, don't think about it too much.
But first, they have to destroy the world engine, which is in the Indian Ocean, which is, by the way, destroying the Earth.
And Cody, this is probably a big deal because they call it a world engine. It's destroying the Earth. General Zod has installed it. It's huge.
Yes, massive.
General Zod isn't protecting it at all. It's probably going to be a massive deal. How can Superman ever take it out? It's not like he's going to punch it one time and it's going to collapse, right?
I don't know what he even did.
He pulled an Independence Day.
He just went up into the beam with his fist up, but did he punch it?
Yeah, he literally punched
into it.
He punched it one time.
Yeah.
And it disrupted General Zod's whole plan. That was
one world engine.
I really wanted like some of the other like Kryptonians on the ship to talk to Zod and be like,
shouldn't we be there?
Yeah, that was a missed opportunity.
And
General Zod's
plan is to change the atmosphere.
He's going
to
terraform the
compatible
Earth.
To the them, and then take the codex out of Superman and create Krypton again.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a classic villain.
And by the way, I mean, this is one of the things that really bugs me about this movie is how big it is. Like, the world engine is literally, like, shooting gravity between the world engine and the ship, and it's just, like, smashing things into Metropolis, and Metropolis is just being literally destroyed, pulverized into ashes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, my God, this is way too big for...
It's a little much.
I just want to see them like punching each other in the streets or something. I don't need to see
And then you talk about
cars and trucks like slamming into people and buildings being destroyed. And
then you talk about
Perry White digging women out of the rubble.
Say, it's like, all of a sudden they got Perry White trying to, and it's like, what do I care about this chick? I've seen her one time.
Right. Well, this is,
and now you're like trying to make me, I'll have some emotion for this situation.
One of my biggest problems with this movie, and it's like it's not just this movie, it's a modern era action movie thing where every good character has to have a hero moment. Mm-hmm. And this movie has so many characters, it's ridiculous. Where you have things like, okay, Christopher Maloney has a moment with the Ursa. Perry White's trying to save like this reporter girl. The scientist has the most ridiculous.
You just turn it to the left.
Because Lois Lane's having her hero moment. She's like, I'm putting in the thumb drive. It won't work. And like the West Wing guy comes over and he's like.
He's like 40 minutes. He like stares at this thing like, oh, like scratching his head.
His hero moment is just like adjusting it, being like, oh, look, it was wrong. And you don't all need a hero moment. It's kind of the problem with Dark Knight Rises,
like
too.
You have a hero. Yeah. You have a hero already. Yeah. Superman.
Right,
Superman.
You have a hero. You right, don't. Exactly. Yeah, they don't. Everyone doesn't have to have that. Because in Dark Knight Rises, you get the ridiculousness of Joseph Gordon-Levitt taking a school bus of kids to a barrier, being like, oh, this is as far as we go, but this is my hero moment, so we have to play it up big.
Yeah,
it's really stupid. And the Perry White, and I like Lawrence Fishburne in this, but it's ridiculous, his whole thing.
Every time I see Lawrence Fishburne, I just think of Nightmare on Elm Street 3. that's the Lawrence Fishburne. Max from Superman, he has this big fight with the tentacles on this world engine thing, and he finally breaks free, and then he punches it to death. And Zod's like, oh no, it's all, my plan is ruined.
And the Christopher Maloney, Lois Lane one, they do successfully crash their ship
into
the other one.
Well, at the same time,
but Lois had fallen, so they're dead. They went into the ship.
Yes.
Yeah, they
or they get sucked into the Phantom Zone.
I think they might be in the Phantom Zone.
I think they get sucked into the Phantom Zone because it's the only way to destroy these villains who have such great powers.
And Lois has fallen.
Can I just say the falling shot on Lois just didn't look good?
Like the
special effect of her falling, she was like floating like this.
For those of you listening, I'm sure that was a great moment for you.
Just watch it. I don't mean to be mentioning things that can't really be described, but the fall was just not good.
They're doing the comical moment there.
Yeah, that was
a little comic relief for the fall.
Oh, okay.
But
you saw it. That's what she was doing.
Yeah. So Christopher Maloney, in theory, may be in the Phantom Zone.
I think he's
with
dead.
Or maybe he's dead.
He was
in the
pilot seat. They crashed into
the plane crash. I'm sure he died as soon as the plane
crashed. But in the Phantom Zone, would Ursa lose her powers? Therefore, she would die in the blast, too? Like, if they're beginning to get crushed in the fuselage, and then all of a sudden they go into the Phantom Zone, and then all of a sudden...
The only person who's ever asked this question.
I am so afraid. I was going to make a joke about the bottle city of Kandor, but I'm afraid to make it because Jack may go on a tangent. Nobody talk about Mr. Mitzelplick, okay?
Yes! He'll be in the next one.
Well, if you want to.
At some point, too, doesn't Zod steal the scout ship, too? Like, did I imagine that? Because he's like in a ship and he flies away.
Yeah, I think he did.
I think he stole it.
Because he went and talked to Jor-El.
Because it was in the scout ship.
One last conversation with Jor-El.
They don't set this up, but I think the scout ship had been turned into the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, but then Zod steals it.
Yeah.
And he flies it. Because then he's... I don't know, I'm so confused. He's shooting... Okay, yeah, because he steals the ship and he's shooting the plane, but then Superman punches a ship before it can shoot the plane down, and then the plane crashes into the other ship.
Yeah.
And then Superman brings the freaking Fortress of Solitude ship into just crashing into the city, destroying everything.
Yes.
Just everything.
This is, again, like the Alex Cross theory of crash whatever you're driving into something.
Yeah. I'm going to say 500 people at the very least died in that crash.
Oh, definitely.
In the streets of Metropolis.
Yeah. On top of all the other deaths.
Yeah. And on top of the ones that are coming very soon, too.
Yeah.
So
the means of the few outweigh the means of the many, Cody.
I don't know. A ton of people died. They really might
still
have
a few. If you think about
really
how many,
they really might have been better off.
Get through the plot. I'll explain
they could
the
have evacuated the city.
Yeah, at no point. Because later on, like, they crash into a museum, and there's like still people just hanging out in the museum. Yeah. And it's like this is like an hour into this massive freaking fight. And, like, no one left the museum.
Also, what were they doing in this museum? Like, just looking at exhibits.
They're like, they look very surprised that anything was going on. Like, they didn't hear all the crashing stuff outside. But anyway, so
it's a museum. It's a very quiet place.
So
nobody was making a ruckus.
The aliens get sent away, and Superman is standing. Literally, it's raining ashes. The city is just rubble. It's raining ashes, and he's standing in the rubble and the ashes, and they're like, I think...
Half the city's a crater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It literally. And he's standing in the ashes, and they're like, Perry White's like, I think they're gone, or whatever. And then Zod, like, comes in, and he's like, I will find him.
Yeah. And I found you.
He gets some speech about how I was made to be a soldier. And
well, here's where you get a little, a little humanity of the character is you see what drives him. And he's legitimately, like, sad that he failed in his mission.
Right. Well,
now he feels worthless.
There's another half an hour fight scene coming up.
Because I think it's a great idea for the second lead in your movie and the main bad guy to only know his motivation in the final 6 minutes of the movie.
I think you know what the whole time, just we weren't cute.
With the fight scene, too, is like... It never progresses.
No, it's just them punching each other over and over again.
And
at one point in this fight scene, I said, why is this happening to me?
Oh, it's just anyways. It just
felt like a personal attack on me.
And to comment a little bit on what Jack said, he's like, well, he knew it. The audience didn't know it. I'm like, again, this is a scripted movie made for an audience.
Well, no,
like,
but
the audience to not know.
At the beginning of the movie, you know he wants to.
As long as your character knows, it's okay.
Michael Shannon knew. So
I knew his plan. I knew his plan was to rebirth the race, the Kryptonian race. He failed in that. He merely vocalized it for the first time. I don't need the character to look at the camera and say, by the way, audience, my plan is to rebirth the Kryptonian race.
You would like to know that before the final scene.
I figured it out before the final scene.
Well, I just thought
it's pretty freaking obvious. The movie moves. There's too many things going on, I think, for that to have been properly addressed.
Yeah, yes.
But that's the first time the character says the words. I failed at my mission.
Convert
the atmosphere. Get the Codex. The Codex brings back the Kryptonian race.
If we didn't have 25 shots of Perry White trying to save a Daily Planet employee we've never seen before. We never know. All right, so
I did like the reference, though, to what's it called?
Oh, the Lex Luthor?
Yeah.
We see a truck.
There's a truck that
says LexCorp, which is nice.
That was funny.
And now we basically get... I'm going to steal a joke from a friend of mine who said there must be thousands of people.
I don't think that was a joke, by the way. I think they're just setting it up.
Shameless sequel.
It was an accidental funny moment for you.
Thousands of people whose death certificates read died because Superman threw General Zod through the building they were working in, and collapsed on them.
The very first one comes down.
Yeah. They go in the building, and Zod heat rays it down, and then
I guess they could have shown some evacuation.
Superman.
Superman saving people.
Yeah.
Well, we could have had that.
Or Superman pulling General Zod fighting in the middle of a field
instead of on the moon.
Yeah. Or over the ocean. Yeah.
Anywhere but Metropolis.
Because first I watched Zod was throwing him into buildings mostly. But then
Literally flies his
Superman
head
flying
through,
his head through a bunch.
Yeah, through glass, like a whole building. The building collapses. Yeah. But. Like Nick said, it would have been great if, like, Zod's, like, throwing trucks and cars and stuff and Superman's going around and saving people There's none of that. He doesn't save anybody.
Right. The only person we see him save while he's wearing the suit is Lois.
Yeah, he doesn't directly save one person.
One soldier fell out of a helicopter.
Yeah, and that was so that the soldiers could be like, he's not our enemy. Yeah, that's the only reason that happened. That was the only person he freaking saved in this whole scene.
Yes.
Directly. He saved Jimmy. He's cool.
Yeah. So, he's just crashing his head through things and... They're fighting, and then Zod takes his clothes off, and they're fighting some more. They crash into a museum, and Zod's like, he starts shooting his ray vision at
a family looking at an exhibit.
And this is too much for Superman. Now he's like, okay, we just killed thousands of people, but you're not gonna do anything to this family. So now I've got to kill you.
Yeah,
which is wrong. That's not the way to end the movie, I don't think.
Exactly.
Him killing Zod.
Didn't he do that in the comic though? Didn't he kill Zod?
I like that.
Didn't he feel bad about it? Because Superman doesn't kill anybody, right?
That's why.
But he had to kill Zod. Didn't that happen? I don't know. I might be wrong.
It's okay.
I might be wrong.
The problem, especially with DC Comics, is they've rebooted their. There's so many different continuities going on, and in one of them, yes, he did.
I guess as an old guy like myself, I don't want Superman to kill anybody.
Well, that's why he doesn't like the fact that
Superman
he did it.
Is not a character that, for the most part, I am a huge fan. Like, there's Superman stories I enjoy, but as a comic book fan, there are certain things that I mean because he's the most iconic superhero. Like I was telling Alex beforehand, Superman's the one superhero where you don't need an origin story. Everyone knows the origin.
Yeah,
you can just hop right into the action.
Right. Sure.
But him being so big and iconic in the world of comics, I do have very strong feelings about the character, even if I don't read a whole lot of his stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's that Superman doesn't kill. Right. That's number one.
Right.
You know, it's...
Right.
But I agree with that. I just feel like how this movie set it up, it was okay that he did.
Well...
Yeah, I agree
with again, that. But you know what? They could have just written a different movie.
Right, yeah.
Yes. Where he doesn't kill.
Yeah. This is really actually...
A good point. No, yeah.
But there's no... And that's why, again, this movie just fails, because it's like, at no point does Superman say anything like, I'm not gonna, you know, like with Batman with the Dark Knight trilogy, he's constantly saying, I don't break that rule. I have that one rule, I don't break it. I'm
and actually, everybody. At one point,
you know, I don't have to kill you, but I don't have to save you.
At one point, Zod says, you know, basically, either I kill you or you kill me. Right, so right, in the end, Superman proves Zod right.
Right.
Which
right,
yeah. That is a very shitty way to end your Superman movie.
Yeah. I just felt like in the tone of this movie and the Superman they built, like, to me, it was okay. Because they literally killed everybody in Metropolis, basically.
Like
at this point. Well, yeah, by that point, it's
at
such
this
a
point,
moot point
you have to. It's like, you know, I get it, Superman, whatever, truth, justice, American way, whatever. But, you know, cops are going to shoot people if they're going to, you know, threatening to hurt other people.
Right.
That's just what you have to do to save other people.
Right. General Zod does suicide by Kryptonian, basically.
Well, my question is, can't you just cover his eyes with your hand?
Yeah, there were a lot of.
I actually thought about that watching it the second time for this.
I thought, oh no, you're not.
But I thought powers equal to Superman's powers could hurt him.
Maybe, but so he hurts his hand.
You know what else you could have said to that family? Hey,
get
out of there.
Because, they're not in the corner. I mean,
the room is a circle.
Little to the left.
There are no corners. Right,
Because it's
behind us,
it's coming this way, but they could run like parallel to the beam and not gotten hurt.
That heat ray will kill you.
So he snaps Zod's neck, and then he's very, very upset about it.
Yeah. He's like, oh.
And then Los, if I was Los, I'd be like, what are you freaking upset about? You just saved the world.
Yeah.
Stop whining.
Actually, Lois should have interviewed him. All right, so many people were dead because of you. Can we get your thoughts?
Can I get the scoop?
I would say I would have liked to have seen at the end of the movie at least shots of Superman like helping the rebuilding efforts.
Yeah.
Like to be like cheesy, like
Superman 4 rebuilding.
Like digging,
China.
Like digging survivors out of the rubble and like helping them rebuild and like saluting.
Could have done. That's the least you could have done.
Being a hero and not a tool shed.
Yeah.
But at least, like, well, at least I thought, well, in this kind of gloom and, you know, like...
I don't mind they did this. I know where you're going with this.
I'm like, well, at least we didn't have the ridiculousness of,
Clark Kent
with the glasses on and, like, haha, everyone has seen Superman, you know, like, it's obvious. Thing, like,
now we're back to that, yeah.
I get that it's in the comics. Jack keeps saying that. We keep fighting about it. Yeah. I get that that's the Superman thing. But this movie was built a whole different world. They didn't have to go there.
Yeah. Right.
And in this world... Superman just helped destroy the entire city of Metropolis. He's going to be all over the news. His picture's going to be everywhere. And then he's just going to walk into the newspaper and everyone's going to be like, hey, new guy.
Well, and everybody's always bitched about that.
Well, and it's sense. Like in the Donner ones, it makes sense.
But to
like,
not do it would have been a better choice. To not do it.
But in this one, how serious it is. You know, we've all worked in news. It's like if Jim Boeheim walks in the station and says, hey, I'm the new guy.
Is he wearing a toupee?
No, nothing. He takes his glasses off. He takes his glasses off and we're all like, hey, it's the new guy. Hey, how you doing?
And there's a friend of mine.
Why don't you go interview Jim Boeheim? And he's like, oh.
Can Peter Parker be the photographer?
In a pickle. So it really bugged me because it's like he's literally like going to be the most recognizable person probably on Earth at this point.
Right.
An alien who just saved the freaking planet. In 2013, this was. It's not like, you know, in the 70s, wherever, it's like newspapers
and
everywhere. Now it's like cell phone videos and pictures are going to be everywhere.
Well, if they're so holden to the idea of doing it in the comics, they've also undermined it because... In the world that this movie set up, Lois Lane, Lana, the whole Lana Lang, Lois, oh God, I don't even want to get into that. Anyway, Lois Lane knows exactly who he is. Like, the Clark Kent storyline really only kind of works for me when Lois Lane isn't so totally sure what's going on there. No, she knows he's Superman.
Right.
So now that's stupid. I mean, and that, like, and which I almost feel like the filmmakers knew, like, oh, God, we've got nowhere to go with that. Better put it as the last scene because we're going to, you know, we're going to undermine everything we're doing.
Because they were too afraid of the classic Superman
fans. I did like the line where she says, welcome to the planet. Like, that was an okay line, but it was like the whole concept of it was just like, he just was involved in this massive destruction of the city.
Yeah. Terrible.
The military knows who he is. The FBI knows who he is. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, no, they He even tells all the employees at IHOP know who he is.
He says, you're trying to find where I hang my cape. And he says, how do we know you won't work for another authority? And he says, I was raised in Kansas. Oh, great. You just gave him a big chunk of information that they can use to try to figure out who you are.
You're not going
to
find out who I am. I was raised down the street, by the way.
Yeah.
I was raised in
Smallville,
Kansas,
this town I just destroyed.
Yeah. You know the IHOP manager? We're friends.
He'll tell you exactly where I am.
Again, Lois Lane took like half a day and figured out who he was. I'm sure that now the military knows who he is, they can figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in summary, we'll wrap this one up. This probably has been our longest episode ever.
Garbage Pail Kids went long.
Well, we had to split that one into two. Yeah. This is not the worst movie we've seen on the podcast by far.
No,
but
it's just really frustrating.
It has flaws.
It could have been. Yes. So, I was excited about it because like, I'm not a Superman fan, but I saw it as a Christopher Nolan thing, and when I saw the trailer, it looked cool.
Well, the trailer, and I will say, for a Zack, it's not shot like a typical Zack Snyder movie. There is a very Terrence Malick kind of feel to a lot of the scenes and the way it's shot.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's just horribly, horribly written.
Yeah.
And it has, well, like Terrence Malick movies, it has the character development of a Terrence Malick movie, which is basically non-existent.
And when I saw the trailer, I got excited because the trailer looked really cool, but then I realized watching the movie that those shots were, they must have just been shot for the trailer.
Because
in the movie, it was like they were there, but they just didn't, it just felt like they were trailer moments, and it wasn't like...
Yes.
They just felt too like, look at what we're doing. This is a cool shot, huh?
Yes.
Look at the CGI. Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did like some stuff. Like, I like when he's flying, like, the Sonic Boom stuff. And, you know, there's some cool stuff there. The CGI is not great, but some of those concepts are kind of cool. But
And I have to give Henry Cavill some credit. I thought Henry Cavill did the... For what he was given to work with, I thought he did very well.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I
totally bought him as a guy who, you know, wanted to do the
right
good
thing.
Things and do the right thing. And unfortunately, the writers had different ideas.
Yeah.
The cast was great. I thought the cast was great. I really did.
Lois.
No. I liked Lois a lot.
I think she could have done a lot better
if she had
a better script.
There was some really dry acting moments.
I thought that it worked.
No emotion.
I think some of that can be put onto a director. Some of that can be put onto a script writer. I think that the cast was very good. And again, I liked the film. I didn't hate it. I had the same feelings, but at least I saw them kind of the same. Kind of like Superman Returns was also good, but not great. It also had a good cast, but didn't really work. So I kind of had the same feelings for it. All in all, after watching this movie, I had a fun time watching it.
I was so
angry. It was not perfect. I'm not excited for a sequel. I certainly didn't think it was perfect. But again, I felt the same way about Superman Returns, whereas this movie was trying too hard not to be Superman. Superman Returns was trying too hard to be the original Superman. I don't know. Neither was able to capture that correctly.
I enjoyed it up until they got on Zod's ship. Then I kind of started not liking it.
That is about where it started to fall apart for me, but again, it didn't totally go away because I liked the concepts that were there. I just didn't think they were glued together properly.
The movie almost unquestionably collapses towards the end. I mean, like, any goodwill it had going with me fell apart in the scene on Zod's ship.
Here's how you figure out. There's a math equation to figure out if it's a good Superman movie or a bad Superman movie. Do more people die on Earth than Superman saves? Yes, you've made a shitty Superman movie. You need to start all over. You screwed up somewhere along the way.
Saved the sea. Four people.
Yes.
Killed 4,000.
Yes. All right, I think that brings this one to a close. I don't even have a So Wrong It's Right, this movie. I had to take 2 hours out of my vacation in a hotel room to actually watch this movie for the podcast, I was so frustrated at the end, I refused to do any So Wrong It's Right research. But as always, you can follow several of us
in that hotel room. Did you have pictures and string?
I did. I was trying to follow. Well, there was a point where I was trying to understand the Christopher Maloney like storyline and the West Wing guy. Yeah,
that's the West Wing. They wasted him so horribly.
Yeah, he really probably was sad he was in this movie. And I kept thinking the Battlestar Galactica people were going to come back in too. Yeah, and they never did. But you follow some of us on this podcast on Twitter. You can follow the show at @WindUpFilms and Jack at
Jack Esterbrook. We're also on Facebook.
We are. Well, and Cody at
Cody A. Wolf.
And Nick.
At Nick Newt.
Don't
Nick
forget Newt. Randy Like the Wolf.
And Randy at Randy Like the Wolf.
And yeah, you, check that.
You can like us on Facebook. There are some very, very funny pictures posted from each of the movies.
Anything
we do.
Anything Nicolas Cage is gold.
Yeah. They, actually, I really did. I was very impressed that you took the from Trespass, the shot of the girl like actually putting her fingers on Nicolas Cage's teeth.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. And if you are a fan of the show, if you can leave us a review on iTunes, we'd appreciate that. Just takes a couple of seconds.
You can review our reviews.
Review that way.
Also, we did have one concern. Somebody had a problem with one of the podcasts that had stopped halfway through.
I forgot to look into that.
We're trying to figure out. Yeah,
a gentleman contacted us through the Facebook, and he said that one of the episodes had stopped halfway through. I don't remember off the top of my head which episode it was, but it was one of the more recent ones. And I checked the one that I downloaded, and my copy was fine, so I didn't know if it was.
Well, I think he was playing
a random
it.
Fluke.
No, he was playing it off of our, because you can get older episodes at our website, stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com.
Geez, the curator, I thought you would know the website.
Yeah, I was, the older ones, and I think that was a problem downloading from the website, so we're checking into that.
Because
Thanks for bringing up our shortcomings, Jack.
I'm just saying that I'm letting the audience know that we are aware if they do have any issues that we will, you know, that we actually do pay attention.
So
and
if any of the
we
four of you.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool, Jack. Yeah,
really. Email Jack Esterbrook.
Bringing it down a little.
Yeah. I'm not bringing it down. I'm saying we appreciate the listeners. And if people feel like, oh, why aren't you responding and this and that, we are aware and we would take care of it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I think I had a funny note right there.
Yeah. Hilarious. Yeah.
Not tonight, right. Baby.
Yeah. That,
I will record that as a ringtone if you want.
We will be back. Our next movie will be Critters.
Yeah.
1986 cult movie. And for those of you who've been watching our Twitter feed, we are going to be doing From Justin Till Kelly coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That episode had to be delayed due to circumstances out of our control, but it is coming up very soon. So we will get to talk about Justin Guarini and his fantastic joke telling. So I think that brings it. We'll see you back here next time. Bye.
I will find him!